please, to the Gospel by John. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Verse 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Chapter 3 and verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure. Chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The fourth chapter and verse 14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Verse 23. The hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Chapter 7. And verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now chapter 14. And verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Finally, chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall speak, not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. I think our brother has struck a happy note, the keynote of this conference, when he said that it is the purpose of God to reveal Christ through believers. You will notice in the scriptures I read that it is the purpose of Christ to reveal Christ, of the Spirit to reveal Christ to believers. Only thus can Christ be revealed in us when he is revealed to us. And the Spirit of God is here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in our study of this subject, the Spirit of God, as we find the Spirit of God revealed to us in John's Gospel, it naturally falls into three headings. First of all, we notice the Spirit of God with regard to our Lord Jesus Christ. Then, the Lord Jesus' word to Nicodemus. Then to the woman at the well of Samaria. And then at the feast day. Finally, we have the upper room discourse. Now you'll notice in the first chapter of John's Gospel that the Spirit finds a home here on earth. Like a dove, he rests upon the Son of God, and it tells us he abode there. That makes us think of a story in the Old Testament. You remember there was a dove in the ark, and that dove found no place of rest in a world under the judgment of God. It came back to the ark. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the true ark. And the Holy Spirit of God could find no rest, no dwelling place in this world of sin until the Lord Jesus Christ was here. And then he found his satisfaction, his rest, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then you'll notice our Lord Jesus told Nicodemus about the Spirit of God and the woman of Samaria. And he told Nicodemus that there is no conversion apart from the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now the Spirit of God has made our hearts his dwelling place. As he found a home in Christ, he has found a home in our hearts. But there's a difference. Here was the person of the Son of God, and the Spirit of God just came down and rested in him. But before he can rest in your heart and mine, he has to make his home. And so we find in John chapter 3 the work of the Spirit of God, preparing us to be his dwelling place. How does he do that? Through the Word of God. The Spirit of God never acts independently of the Word of God. You always find them associated together. Now the water in John 3 is the Word of God. We are born of water and the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost makes this a living Word. And it comes to your soul in power. And the mightiest miracle ever performed is performed by the Holy Spirit of God when he makes out of a sinner a shrine for God himself. There are two things that mark Christianity. One is that a man is in heaven. The other is that God is on earth. The world has never discovered it. And as our brother said, Christians often forget it. But there is a heavenly guest here on earth. And as truly as Christ came into this world in Bethlehem years ago, God is in the world today. Where does he dwell? In hearts redeemed, in souls born again. Then the Lord Jesus tells the woman of Samaria that the Spirit of God dwells in a believer in order that there might be worship. The water of the Word is used. The work of the Holy Spirit of God converts sinners, makes them children of God. The Holy Spirit of God is in your heart and mine in order that there might ascend to the Father on high worship and praise. How can you do anything else? When you have experienced the grace of God in saving your soul, you say, how good is the God we adore. And worship rises to God in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Then in chapter 7, we find that those waters go out to the thirsty world round about us. Now, Lord Jesus is referring to Scripture. And of course, you don't read very far in your Bible until you find it. For there was an Eden of delight, and four rivers flowed out from that Eden. And your heart is the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. God dwells there, and out of your life flows blessings to the thirsty world round about. Conversion by the power of the Spirit of God. Worship in the power of the Spirit of God. Testimony in the power of the Spirit of God. John 3, John 4, John 7. Now we come to the upper room discourse of our blessed Lord. A portion so dear to our hearts, so precious. And we find three things there. First of all, that the Father sends the Holy Ghost upon the rejection of Christ and his glorification at God's right hand on high. Secondly, we find that the Lord Jesus sends the Holy Spirit of God. Thirdly, we find that the Spirit comes. In John 14, whom the Father will send in my name. In John 15, I will pray the Father, and he will send the Holy Spirit of God. John 16, when he has come, when he comes. Now in John 14, we notice this lovely word. The Father will send another comforter. What's the meaning of that? Well, I have a pen, and I write with it, and it scratches, and there's no ink in it. I say, I need another pen. And I mean, of course, a better one. I don't want this one. I want another one. But I have this pen, and someone says to me, now, that's about the best one I've ever seen. In fact, a brother in Oakland gave this to me. And I let you write it, and you say, I'd like one like that. Get me another one. And you mean one exactly like it. For 3.5 years, the Lord Jesus Christ was with his disciples. What did it mean to them? Everything. Everything. He won their heart. He put up with their unbelief and their doubts and their fears and their failings. He was everything to them. And when he said he was going, Peter says, no, we don't want you to go. We want to keep you here. Oh, said the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, the Father's going to take care of you. I'll commend you to the Father. I won't leave you orphans. I'll come to you, but I'll come to you in the person of the Spirit of God. Another comforter.
one just like myself. He will come.
Some years ago, my wife was in the hospital on the occasion of the birth of my youngest son. Very, very sick. No one thought she'd remain here. I sat beside her. I sat beside her as the hours went. I didn't notice hours. It was 12 o'clock, and a nurse came into the room. "Mr. Pell, you still here?" I said, "Of course, where would you expect me to be?" "Well," she said, "that may be true, but rules are rules. You can't stay here. You have to go." So I turned to my wife and said, "Listen, dear, I wouldn't forsake you for anything in the world, but I have to leave you. I've got to say goodbye." "Oh," she said, "must I be alone the whole night?" I said, "Indeed not." And I went to the office and I said, "You're not going to get me out of that room until you send another to take my place." And I stuck to my word. Couldn't have got me out of there with a steam shovel. I was going to stick. Then they did get someone. But she said in the morning, that someone wasn't like you. But the Lord Jesus left. He didn't forsake. He went to heaven. But he said, "When I go, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send another comforter." And we can say it's just like you. It is. It is. Oh, you say, "I wish I had lived in those days when the Lord Jesus was here." I will come to you. You have me on high, and you have me down here. And the Holy Spirit of God is our comforter. Now, the real meaning of that word is one alongside, or an advocate, or a helper. I've been trying all day to remember a name, and I can't remember it. But I'm going to tell you the story anyhow. Years ago, I heard J. Alexander Clark speak. And he told about a lady in Africa, a dear woman who lost her husband. And she had some wealth, and she had some relatives who eyed it with envy. And so they brought this woman into court, and she was unable to plead her own cause. And she realized that all would be taken away from her. And so she went to the chief. Brother Clark said, "I was sitting there, and I saw the woman come in, and I heard her story of woe." And the chief said one thing. I don't know, it was Mushy Utsi or something like that, some word. "There he is." And he beckoned to him. And this man went back with that woman, went to her home, stayed beside her all the while until the thing was settled. He undertook her cause. He spoke for her. He comforted her in her sorrow. He was a helper all the days that she needed him. That's the Spirit of God. He's at your side to help you. He speaks words of comfort to console you. He gives you power when you're weak. He's all you need, for he's here on behalf of Christ. And he's here to make Christ very real and very precious to your soul and mind. And in contrast to what my wife said that morning, "Oh, it wasn't you." You can say it's Christ, one just like him, the Holy Spirit of God, Or as we were saying, the third person of the Trinity, but I don't like that word. I rather leave the 1, 2, 3 out and say he's God. God the Holy Spirit. Then said the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to send him. And what for, Lord? Well, he's going to testify of me. You didn't quite understand the things I was telling you. You didn't realize what I wanted. But when I go to heaven, when I'm glorified, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God. And he will make me real to your soul. My love will be shed abroad in your heart. By the Holy Ghost, the Comforter now present assures us of his love. Now, like that, you know. What is the Holy Ghost here for? Well, he's here to win these poor hearts of ours to that man in heaven. That's what he's here for. I think we have a lovely illustration of that in the Old Testament. You're acquainted, are you, with the story of Isaac and Rebekah? Here was a servant who went from the father's house, from that well-beloved son. What for? To win a bride for Isaac. And he accomplished that. He did. He had with him jewels of silver, jewels of gold. He had raiment of all sorts. And every bit of it was to make Isaac precious to Rebecca. And the Holy Spirit of God has jewels to present to us. Wonderful treasures out of this word. And as our brother said, what do you read the Word for? If you read the Word in company with the Holy Spirit of God, he has only one purpose, and that is to make Christ so precious to you that you will say, that man of Calvary has won my heart from me. He died to set me free. Blessed man of Calvary. That's what he's here for. To testify of me. To take the things of Christ and reveal them. To us. I was telling them in Hayward that for some years my wife and I had an uncle staying with us. My wife was the biggest hearted woman in the world. She not only put up with me for a number of years, but we had three of her sisters and their mother-in-law and my uncle, and they all stayed in the house. Kind of lonesome now, I'm all by myself alone. But now, this uncle told me a story of his boyhood days in Grand Rapids. He said he had a friend. This friend came to him one evening and said, Mint, his name was Mint Pell, Mint, you're my friend, aren't you? He said, yes. Will you do something for me? He said, yes. What do you want me to do? Well, he said, there's a young girl here in Grand Rapids, and I've been keeping company with her for some time. But you know, I'm a bit bashful. I like her very much, and I'd like to marry her. But I sure would like to ask her if she would refuse me. I don't think I could stand that. And so he said, if you will take her out tonight and then report to me, will you do that? Why, he said, I'll be delighted to do that. And so he took this young lady out that night. With the result that she became my Aunt Lottie. He wooed her and he won her for himself. But here was someone who came from Abraham and from Isaac, and he came, he went, he was willing to go, the same trio. And he wooed a young maiden. And he won her too, but not for himself. He never once pointed to himself. He never said to Rebecca, don't you think I'm a fine fellow? Never. Never. What did he do?
He said, oh, you should know him. You'd love him if you knew him. You would, really. He's the beloved of his father, you know. And he's heir of all the land. And you know, he was the son of his father's sorrow when Abraham put him on the altar. And he received him in resurrection. Oh, Isaac, that obedient son. And all the way, that was his ministry. Now, I haven't time for it tonight. I'm not going to do it. Because I'm going to bring my message to a close with one more thought. But if you want a real study that'll delight your heart, just take the seven churches that Paul wrote to and notice the seven things that the servant brought to Rebekah, and you'll find them parallel. In Romans, you have the engagement ring. Did you ever find it there? It's there. Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from that love. You're engaged to him, and I challenge heaven, earth, and hell to break that engagement. We're his and his forever. And the ministry of the servant in Genesis 24 illustrates the ministry of the Spirit of God in the epistles of Paul. Then finally we have in chapter 16 the Spirit of God coming himself. You'll notice the contrast here, the background of the world. It says, when he is come, verse 8, what's he going to do? Three things. He's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Spirit of God is saying to the world, God gave his son. What did you do with him? Of sin, because they believe not in me. That is the great condemnation of this world. From the glory throne, God has come into this world to convince this world of the sin, of the rejection of the Son of God, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. You're wrong. He's right. You put him on the cross. God put him on the throne. Higher than the highest heavens, that's where he sits. What did you do with him? You think you're right or God's right? This world gives Christ the cross. The Father gives him the highest place in heaven. I say God's right. I thank God he's there, don't you? You're going to go on with this world that gave him the cross? There's no neutrality. Absolutely not. Either you side with God or you side with the world. Either you're glad that he's got the highest place, or you shut him out of your life, shut him out of your heart, and you side with the world. Who made you love the Lord Jesus? The Holy Spirit of God. And then he convinces of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Oh, it's grace now. Judgment is coming. The prince is already judged. The world is to meet its judgment. Now, I've got a minute and a half to go yet. And I want you to notice something in verse 13. When the Spirit comes. And I'd like to have you notice one thing here. Some people speak of the Spirit of God as an influence. He's a person. He's God himself. For notice the seven things. He is come. He guides. He hears. And he speaks what he hears. And he shows. And he receives. And he glorifies. Those are the seven things here. I want to mention just three and then close. He'll guide us into all truth. Don't travel through the Word of God without your guide. Don't do it. Don't do it. 1st time I went to up to Jack Davies' house, I was glad I had a guide. I think I'd need one still. I wouldn't want to travel in all those hills, north or east of Oakland, without a guide.
And there isn't a mind keen enough in all the world to travel through the Word of God without the Spirit of God.
I mean what I say. Don't you try.
You're absolutely dependent upon the Holy Ghost for the understanding of the Word of God. Unregenerated men have turned themselves higher critics, have taken apart the Holy Word of God, but only fulfilling Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2 says the natural man cannot understand divine things. You must have the Holy Spirit of God to understand it. Secondly, he'll unveil the future to you.
That's Southern California, though, isn't it, where they got Mount Wilson? Is that down there somewhere? The observatory, is that your territory? A girl was visiting there, and her uncle said, come, I'll show you something you've never seen before. She came in there, and he brought her into that observatory. And he said, look. See how far? Ah, this is marvelous. She said, marvelous, uncle? I've seen way beyond that. Well, there isn't another observatory like that in all the world. She says, yes, I've got one in my room. Amen is right. The Holy Spirit of God not only gives us a vision beyond the heavens, and we see yon man there, yon lovely man, but it gives us a vision way beyond all history. I love to preach on this subject. I haven't done it yet. Peeks into heaven. Anybody heard me on that subject? And I take the seven peaks that the Holy Spirit of God gives to us in Revelation 2 and 3. And it's in the present tense. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And he shows us the paradise of God. And he shows us the crown that we're going to receive. And he shows us the feast at which Christ will seat us. And he goes on and on till he reaches the throne and says, you're going to sit beside him there. He'll show you. There's television for you. Things to come. He will glorify the Son. I'm getting back to the precious message our brother gave. He's going to magnify Christ. Don't need to speak on that. He'll magnify Christ to us and through us. And that is the purpose of the Holy Spirit of God.
Through the blood. None other has ever And the sound of his voice is so sweet to the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we shared as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Now I sing, for this day.